personal branding. It's everything. When I walk around shows in different countries, you've got people coming up, I recognize you from LinkedIn. And it's a conversation starter. They already feel like they know you.
Hello, everybody. I'm Simon McMahon. This is a spotlight session on the Contenting Business podcast. And this time, I'm with Brian Lavelle, who's the International Sales, Export and Marketing Manager at Kulima. That's a hell of a title, Brian.
Hell of a mouthful.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
And it's great to have you on. Thanks for accepting and joining us. Tell us about Kulimat.
So Kulimat, we're essentially a sales rep or agency for US manufacturers who don't have any representation on the European continent. So we represent them. So they make the product. They ship the product over to Europe and we look after the distribution for them in Europe. I cover the Scandic or the Nordic market. So they gave the cold countries to the Irish guy. Dargo giving me Mediterranean, were they? So so I covered the Nordic market, UK, Ireland, and of course Iceland out there on its own as well. And we look after all the distributors there. So we look after anyone who sells into the HORECA market, the hotel, restaurant, and catering industry. So it's pretty much all catering equipment that's coming over from the US, stocked in Belgium, and then centrally distributed from there outwards. And I got there's a team of five of us, headed up by Wim in the head office, and co-owner Mike over there, who look after us really, really well. And then all my other colleagues spread out through Europe. And it's a great industry. Food service, hospitality, you couldn't make it up. It's fantastic. And everyone's the same. Everyone thinks the same. Everyone just wants to do right by the end user who's actually going to end up using the product. And yourselves, I guess, the people are going to end up eating the food at the end. But no, that's pretty much us in a nutshell. So we're an agency for US catering equipment manufacturers.
And how has the business grown and developed over the past however many years?
I think it's been so up and down since COVID. I think it'd be very hard to really judge because, and then of course last year you've had interest rates through the roof and cost of living crisis, you know, so everyone's been clenching their budgets, you know, because beforehand it was COVID, you could blame that. So we haven't really been able to get that flat line, that baseline properly set yet. And I think we're still trying to find our feet or struggling to get back on track with it. But I think overall business is good and steady. We rely quite a lot on some projects from larger chains to really help boost numbers up. And over the last few years, they've been put to not a full stop, but a slower pace. So they're not coming in as quick. But even the first month of this year, we've already started to see, you know, the spin caps being released, ready to go back onto the market for more projects. So fingers crossed, we'll get through the next 12 months unscathed. Watch this space.
It's interesting about COVID because, yes, there were businesses that were just immediately affected in the short term, and then there was kind of recovering as soon as things started to get back to normal. But equally, there are so many businesses that continue to not struggle, but that growth, you know, the growth plans that they had, it wasn't just kind of, okay, well, let's just go back to normal and we'll be back on track. It, you know, things were scuppered and things had to change and expectations or had to be reset. But it does feel like quite a few, a lot of people that I speak to say they feel positive about 2024. You know, that there's a lot of people who are thinking, yeah, this is the pivot year. This is the year that it's going to be, you know, that we're all accustomed with the increases now. We've all acclimatized to the turbulence, and you know, we're hoping for some consistency or some stability, you know?
Yeah, I think, for general markets, yes. And definitely my own pocket, we're beginning to see that. I think you can just go back from a business point of view, you know, COVID just threw full spin in the works, and particularly in hospitality, you know, a lot of operators out there, you know, hundreds of them, thousands of them shutting every month, and continuing to do so since then, just haven't been able to pull it back, which is quite sad. I think. And now, of course, yeah, that bit more stability coming back in now that things are beginning to level off a small bit. So let's see. 2024, as you said, yeah, hopefully it's going to be a bit more positive one. Let's see what the Bank of England can do for us.
What do you think are the key elements of Kolymat that have got the business to this point and separates you from, you know, competition or peers?
So I know from our activity online has really allowed us to stand out from the competition. I think, you know, we're very active on social media. Very proud of it. And we're lucky to have won a couple of awards over the last few years for it. And it's easy. I think when we look at our competition out there, you know, when I started with Kolymat 4 years ago, there was very few actively out there. But again, go back to COVID, through spanner the works, how are you going to get your message out to so many people? You know, how can you engage with an audience that you can't go and see? And social media and videos particularly were the answer to that. I remember down in my kitchen with the wife holding the camera during lockdown, I thinking, oh my God, you know, she's going to kill me. I'm asking her to hold the camera again. And she shouted, "Not again, you want me to do it again?" I was like, yeah, come on, just another one. Because, you know, we knew it was the only way to get to our audience and keep our brands in the forefront, because, you know, you can't go knock on the door having coffee with them. So for us, it was vital to use social media to keep our brand alive. I think that's, to answer your question, that's pretty much what sets us apart, is our online activity. And we've got a fantastic lady, Sarah, in the office as well, who uses the mass marketing side of it. So I don't look after that. Sarah does it. And, you know, she's very creative on that side. So we're hitting it from both fronts. It's now what's going to be next on the marketing strategy. I'm not sure. But I think we'll think of something pretty soon. I think maybe WhatsApp. I think that's another upcoming one, isn't it?
Yeah, so, more and more businesses active.
Yeah, so we're looking at that. So, but yeah, from us in our competition, that's pretty much what sets us apart. So I think other ones out there, you know, in terms of having sales guys doing videos, which I think is the most important, because personal branding, it's everything. You know, but not going on about myself too much, but when I walk around shows in different countries, you got people coming up, I recognize you from LinkedIn. And it's a conversation start. They already feel like they know you. And for me, that's invaluable. You know, you get talking about their business and then, okay, well, let's have another chat. It opens up the doors that otherwise you'd find impossible or take such a long time to open up.
Yeah.
So social setting for us as a company, it's what really sets us apart. Hopefully that answers the question.
Absolutely. I mean, well, there's a few things there. And first of all, you know, you speak my language 100% when you talk about the activity online, you know, being present online, and you know, the consistency is absolutely 100% right. Even when there's difficulties, even when there's, you know, you're not quite got the right gear, or you're at home in lockdown. I mean, my dining table became a temporary studio, you know, during those COVID days. But still sticking with the consistency, you know, even if, as long as the message is strong enough, as long as your intention is clear, you know, quality can take a hit. You know, is it ideal? No, but, you know, have I just got to whip out my phone and get this message across because it's actually really important? It's quite timely right now. Yeah, absolutely. You should do it, you know. So that's absolutely right. And then, you know, the other thing you mentioned is again, personal brand, 100%, the importance now of a face, you know, whether it's through the company's channels or whether it's through that personal channel. And I know you do plenty of that yourself through your personal profile. Because I've seen it, you know, obviously on LinkedIn and that face recognition is the trust, isn't it? You know, there's a level of trust and there's a level of preset expectation that you know what you're talking about, because they've seen it. And that I think is massively invaluable.
Yeah, I fully agree. You know, and what we see in our industry is that not everyone is utilizing that platform. You know, and of course, it's not going to be for everybody. You know, not everybody is going to be, you know, confident going in front of a camera, you know, and that much we get. But for the company, in some respect, some aspect, to get that exposure or some way, even hire someone to come and do it, you know, it's invaluable. I think if they're not looking at it, they definitely should be looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, you know, not that we can have tangible results from it, from any of the marketing that we do, but at least it's that brand exposure, and it hasn't cost anything to do. And yeah, that's important. This doesn't have to cost an arm and a leg to get the message across. You can do it in a fun way, just pick up the phone, walking down the street, having a chat.
Yeah.
You know, and that, so.
And that's the third point that you mentioned there. You know, the competition, 99% of the time, it's what the competition aren't doing. You know, and so your activity is just coming to the forefront in your sector. You know, you're the name that's being recognized. You're the face that's standing out at the show. So, yeah.
No, it's, thank God there's not too many more people doing it. It means a wider net for us to catch.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the point. That's absolutely the point.
Agreed.
So is there a vision for the company, a particular set of goals in the short term, long term that you were working towards?
Not in terms of marketing strategy. I think we've got so many brands, and we try and give them as much an equal share of our exposure as possible, because it wouldn't be fair to concentrate just on all one brand. So apart from our marketing diary, no, there's nothing really that we're really going to focus on. Just try and keep it consistent. For us, consistency is key. Make sure the new products are brought to market as quickly as possible, or any new announcements brought to market. I think that's for us. Well, we've always done that, so there's no big change there. And try and get that more creative with what we're going to put together and how we're going to do it. I wish I had more time to put in front of the camera myself, but the diary doesn't always allow me to take blocks of days to do the material. But yeah, I think for the short and long term, I think we'll just keep it consistent at the minute so we can manage the workload, do my day job as well as the marketing. That's the tough part. Yeah.
How does the, what's the balance between the brand's material and your own material? Because I guess there's, you know, when you're distributing that brand's equipment, I guess, is there guidelines that you have to work to, or is there a preset kind of, you know, amount of collateral to use, or?
No, I think we've been very fortunate with the brands that we represent with the US, that we've pretty much been giving the green light to be creative with however we feel suits each market. Of course, Europe is a big continent, and if you're in the US, they look at Europe as a country, speaks one language, one road in and out. Oh yeah, it's crazy. So to be able to manage each market individually is a real advantage, and that can only be done with a tailored approach for each market. So my own. I think I try and merge as much of my own brand with the brands as possible. I think that's important because we're an agency, so we cover multiple brands. So we've got to get that message across. Sometimes it does confuse some of my customers, say, okay, well, what exactly do you do? But we can only bring each product to the market the best we can. I think that's it can be a tough message sometimes to drive. It's down to customer by customer, really. But we also do quite an awful lot of local material. So if you're in Sweden, we do it as Swedish. We get one of the local guys there. So we work with our master distributors there and distributors and to create local material, and the same in other countries. And I know my new colleague in Germany, Florian, he's working pretty hard to get a lot of the guys doing it in German, because it's a huge market that we haven't been able to fully penetrate with this type of material before. So we're looking forward to getting that more of the local reach on board. I think that's going to be our next part of the strategy, I guess.
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? You're going to know the markets, the individual markets, much closer than the actual manufacturer or the brand that's sitting across the pond, isn't it? And ultimately, if you can just go back with a holistic number of, yep, this is the overall success we've seen, we'll deal with the differences between country, you know, then that's all that matters. So what are the kind of challenges that you can see coming up? Obviously, we've talked about past challenges and we talked about positivity around 2024. But then I'm going to ask you what are the things that you're kind of seeing that you'll struggle with going forward or have plans to overcome?
Good question, Simon. God, I wish you gave me some foresight of these beforehand. it's hard to know. I think from as I said earlier, from where we are right now is pretty stable. We're not looking to reinvent the wheel very much at all. Again, it's getting to that direct, it's getting to the customer as direct as possible. And I think the WhatsApp route is because everyone has a mobile in their hand. Not everyone checks a mail or can delete it very quickly, or text message sometimes can't get through, or whatever the case may be. I think the WhatsApp, to some degree, I think is something that we'd like to look at a little bit closer to see how we can get in there straight to the operator's phone as much as possible. And we probably need to work on that on a local level with our local distributor. So if we're looking to get, say, for example, a Hamilton Beach promo out on the blenders, the new blenders that they've got, we work with their distributors. GDPR, of course, is another headache that we probably have to come over. But I'm guessing if it comes from them, you know, there's different hoops you've got to jump through. But I'm sure it's possible in some respect to make that happen. So I think long term, I think that's something I'd really like to look at a little bit closer for us. That's in tickling over now for me. But other than that, same old scenario with supply chains. Brexit hasn't helped. But that's never going to go away from us at the moment, is it? So that's going to be here for a long time. But in the most part, from a marketing point of view, that direct operator, however we can get direct to operator, that's what we'd like to do next. Mm-hmm. And just make that happen. If you have any ideas, let me know, Simon. We're happy to work with you.
Certainly on the WhatsApp side, well, any direct messaging, I think, it is incredibly effective once a user is locked in, once you've got that direct connection and, you know, allowed direct connection with them, you know, you've got I think the like with email initially, a lot of people kind of set up websites and email addresses and mailing lists and things like that, and then kind of sat back and waited for that list to fill. People are just going to start finding me and registering, and I'm just going to get all these emails coming in, all these contacts coming in, and very quickly realize you've got to push, you've got to give that, you know, get that awareness and give incentive for people to then get that, have that engagement and jump onto your list. And I think the same applies for the messaging side as well. You know, if you think about your WhatsApp, how do you get on the messaging side with people? Okay, they've started to add groups and things like that, and channels and all that. How do you find those channels? You got to go through some other channel. If you want, you know, so people can contact your business on WhatsApp if you've got the details on there from Facebook. So there's the conduit channel before you actually get to that direct channel. You know, SMS a lot of the time is the same. It's harvested from a list, which when we've always done it has been a list that has been a mailing sign up. Of some sort, of some kind of free download or a discount or something, and then they'll give the number as well if they're really keen, you know. So that's always the big thing there is get that conduit in place, and drive those signups, drive that incentive for people to go, I want to be contacted by this person, and then it's so much easier to jump on, you know. But I think your other point as well is on a local level, you know, because you do get, it's a conversation. So people are asking different questions. And obviously, if there's a local language thing, then you've obviously got to make sure you're accommodating that. But food for thought.
Agreed. So yeah, watch the space for that. I think, you know, it's not the first time anyone's done it, but it's how we do it in the food service supply sector. I think that's going to be the interesting one.
So, final question for me. The one piece of advice that you would give to someone in your position with all your experience and going through the things you've seen, what would be that one piece of advice that you would you would give to someone?
I think when it comes to focusing on social selling, I guess, your integrity on the camera. You know, if you believe in the product, make sure that the customer can see that. And that goes hand in hand with the personal brand. I think, you know, because if you put the two of them together and you've got a good product or brand behind you, then I think that's probably the best bit of advice I can give. Be completely honest on camera. But have fun, you know, enjoy it. Because it is fun. It can be fun. And some of the bloopers, you know, you could put on months of stuff with the bloopers alone. It doesn't happen straight away. These things, just because you see the final edit on social media, there's maybe hours gone in. You know this, I'm sure, hours gone in advance. But you have fun doing it, and that's another bit of advice. Have some integrity when you're doing the videos, and have fun. I think that's important.
It's something that I always say is you know, everything that you put out there should either educate or entertain. Both ideally. So absolutely. There's nothing wrong with chucking a blooper in a in the middle of a video.
I'll send you my files.
An outtakes reel.
Oh god, they could write a book.
Thank you for joining us. That was a really insightful conversation. Really interesting to kind of hear your world, hear your stories, and how you're getting on.
A pleasure.
We'll link to your website. We'll link to your social profiles, probably personal as well as brand. Otherwise, another great spotlight session. And everybody, thank you for watching and listening to the Contenting Business Podcast. As always, like, rate, share, follow this podcast. And until the next time, see ya. Thanks, Brian.
Take care. Thank you.